That's the Three Tards with DirecTV, and now we're going to talk to them live. Introduce yourselves and tell us what you do in the band.
Okay, my name's John Tard. I'm the lead singer, and I write almost all this pathetic lyrics.
Yeah, my name's Fox Tard, and I pretend to play the bass.
Mike Tard, guitar.
Gus Tard, drums.
Okay, and how long have you had the Three Tards been around?
The Three Tards has essentially been around for 33 years. But they've only really been around since the cold winter of 2001 when Mike Tard and I decided we wanted to start a punk band. It was originally a two-piece. It was just a guitarist and a singer, but then we realized that we needed to pursue different avenues, so that's when we got Gus Tard and Fox Tard to finish her out.
Okay, and how did you meet up with how did everyone meet up? How did you guys? How do you know each other?
Well, actually, it was at an all-you-can-eat gay bar. It was Hot Dog Wednesday, and Gus had his mouth fucking just jam-packed. And we met up. We're all friends is basically the way it is. Fox Tard's been in a lot of punk bands in the city of Toronto before, Shitloads of Fuck All, bands like that. And Mike's my best friend and my best man at my wedding. And we've been together our whole lives. And Gus Tard, our drummer, we were actually fans of Gus's before he was actually in this band because he was in the he was a drummer for one of our favorite bands growing up called Sacrifice. So I actually paid to see Gus open for Slayer back in 86 before he was actually in this band and a friend of ours.
86!
Okay. What's the idea behind the Three Tards?
There is no idea.
There's a few, though. You guys.
There's no idea.
Structured chaos, yes. I guess, would be the best thing.
Okay. In your CD, you label yourselves as Askor. What is Askor?
Okay. Askor is basically at our rehearsal space where we write this noise
junk.
We were just sitting around one day, and we were like, because we play with so many different bands over the last few years, and everyone's in a different core and fucking crust core and ass.
Metal core
and fucking you name it. So we were sitting around one day, and we're like, you know what? It's time to release our own core. And we did some serious thinking. We spent almost 3 months in the studio thinking about that name, and we came up with Askor, and it stuck, and that's what we're sticking with.
It was about a letter a month.
A letter a month, right.
Okay. Who are, on a serious note, though, who are you influenced by? I mean, you do a song about, I suspect it's Judas Priest.
Okay, right. Yeah.
Well, and then you have songs like on songs like She-Males, there's like an underlying country sound to your to some of your stuff. So when I was listening to the CD, I thought of bands like Guild Parade when they were out in New Brunswick and the Epileptic Brain Surgeons or the Muscle Bitches. And so I don't know. I might be
muscle
totally off.
Are awesome.
I might be totally off base here, but who are you?
Okay, well, it's really simple. Mike, our guitarist, he writes all the music with Gus. Fox is writing more music now, but he's not quite the musician that they are. So he just kind of sits around and watches in fucking awe.
Yeah, but the best looking one in the band, like him, though. So.
Well, we keep him in the band.
But influences. That's the beautiful thing about this band. It's all different. Like, my influences are, like, I got to go to, like, the Dayglo Abortions growing up and, bands like that. You said Guilt Parade, Scatterbrain, just like the total, like, I like humor and music. You know, a lot of people don't, but I do. Those would be my influences. Gus and Mike have influences that just blow your mind.
Frank Zappa.
Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, when we're jamming, these two boys, they play all that shit, like Rush, and they play everything. And then you got Fox Tard, who's more like straight edge, hardcore, you know, like doesn't want to play that sort of shit. But
I'm very straight edge. You know, I never touch a drop, man, never.
No.
Okay. Well, how about... if you had to limit your collection to 5 records, what would they be?
Okay, I'll go first. You know what? I knew you were going to ask this question, but I want to ask you, what are your 5?
I think Minor Threat would be one. The collection of the 2 7 inches on one.
Yeah.
Probably the Black Flag Damaged LP. Dead Kennedys, Plastic Surgery Disasters.
Yeah.
That's 3. I think... Yeah, The Clash would be up there. I think probably the Blue Album, the first one. And, I don't know. It's hard to say because Yeah, it would be a toss-up between Devo, the Sex Pistols, the Skids, and a whole bunch of early punk stuff.
Because NSYNC?
Yeah, or maybe New Kids on the Block.
Okay, well, mine would be number one,
go ahead.
Dayglow Abortion's Fetus Fetus.
Yep.
And then I got four tied for the second. It would be, I'd throw Rain and Blood by Slayer, If You Swear You'll Catch No Fish, SNFU. No One Else Wanted to Play, SNFU. And the last one would be, throw in Ask Cobra by Turbo Negro.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, Dayglow Abortion's Fetus Fetus for
that's
sure.
That's Fox Tard, by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, this is Fox. Dayglow Abortion's Fetus Fetus for sure, number one. Misfits Walk Among Us. And the punk kind of, I mean, I love the punk rock, but favorite albums, Guns N' Roses, Appetite for Destruction, man. I love that album. Metallica, Master of Puppets, and AC/DC, Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap.
Yeah.
Okay, AC/DC. Mine's a little off base.
That's Mike Tard.
Frank Zappa's Roxy and Elsewhere, as well as Burnt Weenie Sandwich. After that, I'd have to go with Black Label Society, Sonic Brew, Best of Allman Brothers, and Stravinsky's Rite of Spring.
Wow.
I'm Gus Tard, Led Zeppelin, every album, every Rush album.
There's only five.
The Tool albums.
You're trying to squeeze in more than five.
See, every
here.
Slayer album up into, I guess, Cell to Heaven. And last but not least, I'd say probably most of the Metallica stuff.
The entire content of this radio station is my favorite.
Well, I can't just take one to a deserted island. I'd have to take the collection.
Gus Tard hasn't been the same since that fucking horrible gardening accident.
Shh. All right. That stuff.
The CD's called The Greatest Hits Volume 2. Is there some kind of reference to the Cockney Rejects release? Or
no,
where did the name come from?
Was that done before?
Yeah, that was their second LP. That was
Are you fucking serious?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was our first, so
yeah,
it's much cooler.
Well, their first one was called Volume
research.
1, so.
Greatest Hits Volume 1.
Yeah, you know what? That really sucks, because I thought we'd... And there's another three tards in the States, too. You know that, eh?
No, I didn't know that.
See, we're double fucked.
Yeah. Well, where did the name for three tards come from?
Okay,
what's the story behind
that? In that winter of 2001, we had a bunch of names on the table, and our first name for the band was the Trouser Snakes. And then we found out that the name was given to us from a friend, so it wasn't actually our name. We didn't make it up, so it really pissed me off. And then we were just sitting around, and... I thought guitar dead, and I'm thinking, oh, no, no. And I said three tards, and I said, you know what? It's fucking mint because there's four of us. That makes
true.
It so much sweeter, you know?
Yeah. It works in that level.
Thank you. I love you.
Okay. Tell us about the lyrics. What are some of the things you're singing about?
Okay, the lyrics, just don't tell my mom I told you this, but...
we actually sing about something?
Yeah, well, you know what? The lyrics are kind of... You know what we do is... I'll tell you what we do. It's four guys in this band that love each other. We're friends. We're best friends. We die fighting to protect each other. We sit around when we jam. We write songs and we just laugh. That's basically what it is. We write music to be funny. We write music to have fun. If we wanted to be political and angry, we'd watch the news. That's the way we look at it.
Well, I think we can get some sense of, like, maybe through some of your titles with some of the things. Like, what are some of the titles of your songs?
Well, you got Gay Heavy Metal Singer. You know, like, we're huge Halford fans.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, Andrew Fox is here. He's got a great story about that. He'll tell you in a second. But like the titles like She-Males and Little Dog, Big Dick. These are just songs that just kind of popped into our mind. Little Dog, Big Dick. I live out in the country, and there was a sign on a post, and it said Lost Dog. And the picture had this dog, and the dog had a huge dick. And I said, holy fuck, that dog's got a huge dick. So I said, I got to write a song about that dog's dick. And I did, and... man rapist, you know, like, obviously there's nothing funny about man rapist, but you know, we just try to, we wanted to write a song about men raping other men. And we said, you know what, it's as horrible as it would be.
We want to do our part.
Yeah. We wanted to do our part for society. Hey, tell them the Judas Priest story.
Oh yeah. Okay. So I went, cause you know, Judas Priest was just here with Halford singing.
Yeah,
it was just like, you know, crazy. Like, you got to go see Judas Priest with Halford. So we went to the show, and I happened to have a three tard CD with me. And you know, obviously we have Gay Heavy Metal Singer on there. So I decided I was going to get that CD on stage. stage to Rob Halford.
How did you do it?
Well, you know, we bought lawns because, I mean, it was crazy, the prices. And then, you know, we snuck down as far as we could. And then, but it was still a long way from the stage. So at one point in the night, I just, you know, I was pretty hammered. And I just said, fuck it. So climbed on the back of the chairs and walked on the back of the chairs through. And all these people were giving me dirty looks and trying to stop me from going. But I, you know, as soon as I told them, yeah, fuck it, I'm going for it to the front. And then they were like, yeah, rock on, man. And they,
of course.
They sort of helped me along. And I managed to get all the way to the front of the stage. And I was standing against the guardrail at the front of the stage. And Rob Halford was leaning over me singing Hellbent for Leather, and I pulled out my three-tard CD and I chucked it at him, and I missed him, unfortunately. I was hoping to hit him so maybe he'd pick it up, but it landed next to the guitar player. So hopefully, you know, I mean, that CD was, and it's a pretty colorful looking CD too, so
yeah.
You know, hopefully someone picked it up there, even if it's a roadie, and I just hope he hears that
hopefully
song.
It wasn't his fucking lawyer that picked it up. Yeah.
have you guys seen Heavy Metal Parking Lot?
No.
Yeah, yes, I have.
You, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
So you know about the whole Judas Priest thing.
You ever notice everybody in that movie had terrible teeth? Not one person had a full set of teeth in their head.
I wasn't thinking about that, but I'll have to look back and check that out.
Man, when you're into metal, you don't have time for dental hygiene.
No, it's one of your least
Udo.
Well, speaking of that, was the song Mullet inspired by anything in particular?
Yeah, it was inspired by a guy I saw at a mall one day. I was in my car, and I parked my car, and this guy just walked by, and I was in awe of the magnificence of this 3-foot mullet. And he had the famous type where it was spiky top, and then really, really long in the back, and I just said, man, does that guy not know what's going on out there in society today? Like, there's just a definite no-no. And then I said, you know what, let's throw the mullet together. And that's Mike's favorite song, and we play it all the time.
Song number 4. What's wrong with me?
I hate that song. Mike won't listen to that song.
No, we love the mullet.
It's too juvenile for him. That song is too juvenile a 3-tard song for Mike. Even he won't listen to that song.
So we know what Mike's favorite song is.
Yes.
I'm going to ask each of you what your favorite song is from a lyrical standpoint and why.
My favorite song, I'd say probably Loser for Myself. It probably took me and the boys the longest period in the studio to put together, and when we finally put that final track down on that song, it was probably the best one we had recorded in that session.
But what do you have one from a lyrical standpoint?
A lyrical?
Yeah.
No, John. I love John just the way he is. I love all his lyrics. All
right.
As long as they're nice and childish like me, I'm happy.
The mullet.
Yeah. I'd have to say, well, I'm going to explain a little thing here, but we tended to do this album ass backwards. We had lyrics first and wrote music to it, which is totally hard.
Yeah,
Believe me, it's actually really hard.
That's definitely not the way that people normally do it.
And so I had She-Males, and I just laughed. There's lines in that song that just made me laugh so hard, and I thought, what a better thing to do is put country redneck behind She-Males.
Yeah,
a perfect thing.
It's screwy.
Yes, that is definitely my favorite, and well, the Man Rapist, but it's not on the CD. But She-Males on the CD, definitely my favorite.
Before we go to you, Andrew, I just wanted to. There's an underlying theme of She-Males in this. What's the deal?
Yeah,
we love boobs and we love cock.
It's kind of funny that you would say that because I myself am a practicing she-male. No, I don't know. It just kind of fell together that way. And you know what? It's kind of a bad scene because we got two new songs for our new album that we're working on, and it's kind of gone the same way. So I think the next time if we're lucky enough for you to have us on again, I think we'll end up being the three she-males. All
right. My favorite song lyrically, I'd have to say Hell Fart. It has every element of just a classic. I mean, there's hell and there's farting and there's screaming and there's tea and it's just, I mean, what more do you need from a song than that?
The classic Shakespearean.
Well, exactly.
We're all about Shakespeare.
Yeah. Really.
Yeah. Right, lyrically, Josh. I like, probably my favorite song on the album lyrically is... I always come back to Little Dog because that was the first song the band ever wrote. But lyrically, I think Gay Heavy Metal Singer is probably the funniest song that we have. Like, we're numb to it now because we played it 20,000 times. But when people hear that song for the first time, they always get the best response. But the only difference is on the CD, we recorded it differently because we were so worried about the legalities of Judas Priest hammering us against the wall. Because you'll notice when we play it tonight on your show, we do Living After Midnight intro.
Yeah.
And we do like a nice, thick Living After Midnight. But on the CD, we do, what the fuck do we do? Oh, the suck and the what?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's like more disturbing, but actually the funny story is Spud's here tonight. He actually sang on that. But when we recorded that song in the studio, because we did this kind of Judas Priest takeoff where it was actually Foxtard's idea where he was like, are you guys ready to rock or do you guys want
to suck? You guys ready to suck cock?
Yeah. And it was like, sucking the what? And it's like, cock! And we had all these really like scary, tough punk dudes in the studio to record this. And they're all like, okay, what are we doing? And we just did Hydro. And we just did all these songs that were like, you know, they're doing like these nice, happy little backups. And then it's like, okay, you guys ready to do some cock? And they're like, what? What do you want us to do that for? And it was so funny watching them scream that.
Scream.
They'll never be the same.
You can see there's a theme here about everything we talk about.
There
everything
is.
We
yeah,
do.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we were talking earlier about some other stories of just shows that you guys have been to. I just want to ask you about the Sex Pistols show. Yeah, you were famous for the last Sex Pistols show. Tell us about that.
Well, you know what? And,
you got written up.
This is totally true. My wife's brother Rich, he's 40 years old, and they're both born in England, and he's a huge Sex Pistol fan. So am I. I'm 35, so I appreciate the Sex Pistols. And we went to see them for the first time. Well, actually, he'd seen them back in England, but we went to see them the first time, and I did anyways. And it was at the Ontario Place, wherever that place is. And we had these shitty seats in the back, and I brought a big white sign. And if anybody was at that show, they'll remember me. I had a huge white sign, and it said, "You still suck," in gigantic black letters on a white background. And I said to Rich, I said, "You know what? I'm going to bring this sign to the front. I'm going to show it to him, and I know Johnny Rotten will give me a response." So I got right to the front, right and center, just like Fox just did for Halford. And I got right to the front, and in between songs, I just fucking hoisted it above my head. And he stopped, and he looked at me, and he said, "I may suck, mate, but I don't suck you. Now fuck off, lumberjack." And it was about 2 minutes later, anyone that was there, and there was a lot of people there, they left the stage. There was all this fucking crazy shit went on. And then the next day in the paper in the Toronto Sun write-up, I have it framed on my wall at home, it just clearly says, somebody in the fan, Johnny Rotten screamed at him, "I may suck, mate, but I don't suck you." They didn't write fuck off, but I have that on my wall because it's not every day you get told by Johnny Rotten to fuck off. It's probably the highlight of my life.
And Gus was reading this, right? And he...
Gus read it in the paper the next day. But Gus read it in the paper, and he's like, "Fuck, I know that has something to do with fucking Johnny, man." I called him and told him. He couldn't believe it.
I shat about it. I cut it out, and I got it with the rest of my memorabilia at home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got the thing hanging on my wall in the basement. One day I'm going to get him to sign it somehow.
Okay. With all these crazy stories, I'm looking at the CD, and on the CD you're wearing like an AstroTurf kind of shirt and stuff. Yeah. Do you guys do this live or what?
Well, basically what we do is...
I know Gus was stripped down to his knickers today, but...
Yeah, well, we perform. We try to perform naked when we're on CIUT, but what we try to do... that was our CD release party. We did exactly that costume. All four of us were dressed exactly like that. And that's you gotta realize how hot that fucking grass suit is. It's green grass fur.
Yeah, I imagine you couldn't do this all the time.
Yeah, it was very bad. But, you know, the costume thing, it's not something that we want to do. Like, the other boys don't do it. It's just me now. I just kind of throw it in there.
Okay.
But the only reason that I actually do it is because I do it just to... It's not even a gimmick because I don't really give a fuck about nothing or what anyone thinks. I just do it to have fun. And when I go up there, like we did a show a few weeks ago.
Where the hell did you come up with the idea of AstroTurf?
You know what? It was a costume place up near my house. And I said, you know what? Let's get in there and let's pick costumes let's do something funny, you know? And we did that. And, you know, it was really funny. And now the last few shows, I did Gene Simmons and full dragon boots. And, oh, fucking
blood.
What
else have you done?
We have been known to play naked.
What about Supercop?
Yeah, Fox.
What about Supercop?
Fox did two shows completely naked.
Wow.
Yeah, that was disturbing.
That's gutsy.
We did, super cock. I dressed like Superman, and I had this giant, like, 14-inch dick in my pants.
Okay. What about Elmo?
And who?
The elephant.
Oh, yeah, I did an elephant with a full head. And
the entire show.
But you know what?
40 minutes, and he took the head off. For
40
for
minutes, man. I swear I lost 30 pounds.
How did you sing with, like, a...
Because the mouth was soft. I could reach in. So the whole show, it was like I had my arm in my mouth.
So it wasn't muffled or anything?
No, well, it was okay. We're the three-tards, right? You know, you get what you pay for, right? But, you know, honestly, the costume thing, because we did a show in Peterborough a day before the flood. And
like, are you serious?
Oh fuck! You know what's
that's crazy
time. It's not funny.
No, but that's odd, right?
We love people. In
we did the last punk gig in Peterborough before that huge flood they had.
Literally the day before.
The next day on the internet, everyone was talking about what the three tards did that was so bad that Jesus had to wash the earth of its sins.
Only in Peterborough.
But I did that show dressed like a girl, and Spud was there. This fucking idiot Spud, and he tore my dress off and tore my underwear off, and it was just absolute mayhem. But as the costume thing, you know what, we don't want to be, that's all we're about. We're here to kick ass, and like on a serious note, you know, we like to joke around and we like to have fun because we're friends and we love each other, but we kick ass musicians. Like, I don't know about me, I'm the singer, I don't really care, but Gus, Mike, and Fox are incredible musicians, and I'll put them against anybody.
I think all of you are.
Yeah, well, thank you very much, I appreciate that, and I love you.
Thank you.
Remember the song Man Rapist, okay?
Actually, I'll talk to you later about some new shit we're working on.
Great. Which shows do you have coming up in the next little while?
Okay, you know what? I'm glad you asked that because it's very important. The next show that we're playing is Saturday, September 18th at the Cathedral.
That's this Saturday coming.
Yep. We're playing with the Black Donnellys, and I know you guys and your punk brains in there, you guys know who the Black Donnellys were. You know, in the 80s, they were kicking a lot of ass, and they broke up. And this is their first show in Toronto in 16 years.
Yep.
And, you know, they're going to headline. It's our promotion. We got them headlining. The Three Tards are on just before them, and we got an incredible supporting cast. We've got Dirty Bird, Random Killing. We got the Antics, the Antics are the greatest straight punk band in the city of Toronto right now.
Ain't that the truth?
And we got Underage Mouthfuls, and we got Full Clip Orchestra at 7 bands for $8, and the doors open at 7. It's gonna kill.
How did the do you guys know the Black Donnellys?
Well, Gus played with them back in the 80s, eh, Gus?
Yeah, apparently did a couple shows with those guys in London.
That demo that they did,
right,
was incredible.
Well, you know, I've played with so many bands through the years. People say, "Well, we played with you at one point or another," and I generally say, "Yeah."
Well, Steve, you know what?
I believe you, yeah. But,
Steve,
you're trying to remember it. It's a little harder, but
you're totally right. That demo, it changed the face of music. Like at that time, you know, they were like Canada's Sex Pistols at that time. They had that energy, and the singer's a madman.
Yeah, Dan is.
Yes, he is a madman.
Yeah,
and actually, I'd like all you guys to come out if you could for that show that night. You're all on our guest list. I'd like to have you guys out.
That's awesome.
And I actually want to talk to you after the show. I have to show you a few things. But anyways, okay, so we got that show. But how we got the Donnellys was I was just talking to some people, and I heard they were playing some gigs, and I said, you know what? That's a band I'd really like to play with. And as soon as we had announced,
because they had a bunch of shows, but none of them were in Toronto.
No. So we figured it was done.
Yeah, they were not going to be playing here.
Well, we already had the date. We had that date, and I said, you know what? Come on down, boys. I want you guys to headline this gig. And we were lucky enough for them to do that, and that's going to be a fantastic night. And the next gig we got is that Thursday, right after that Saturday. We're playing with the Dayglo Abortions, Monkey Piss
Monkey
Backwards.
Piss.
Yeah. We're playing with them, Mr. Plow, who's fantastic.
I love Mr. Plow.
We've got Murder Squad and a bunch of fucking goofs on that bill. That's Thursday the 23rd. And the next show, which you guys announced earlier, is our November 10th gig with the Misfits, Agent Orange, and Rehab for Quitters. And it's a big show because...
Hey, who are Rehab for Quitters? Is that the
G-Men? Local Toronto band. You
it's
know?
Not the G-Men?
No.
Because they had that first CD.
Yeah. No, these guys are up-and-coming kind of young guys. Chris from the Antics is here. He played with them a couple times. And,
okay.
He's really happy that they're on that bill and not him. No, he wants to kill them. That's how bad
I'm sure. Okay, how can people get in touch with the band?
Okay, well, the best way to get in touch with the band is call Foxtard at home, and his home phone number is 416. Oh, no. The best way to get in
Hamilton, a 416. Yeah.
Email's really good. You can my email or John's
okay,
email.
Okay, well, yeah. No, the best way to get in touch with us is go to woundedpod.com. That's woundedpod.com, and all our information is there. I've got my email address if you're booking or anything like that. I've even got my phone number on there where we can put together dates and that. And Mike and Gus and Fox and I, we get back to everybody really quick. You know, it's all about family. You know, we haven't made any money in this yet, and we're just having fun making friends and fans and fan friends, and it's, you know, we're just having a blast.
Okay. Any last comments,
Mike?
Any last comments,
Mike? Tell him that story. Mike has a story to tell you about him in a washroom. Mike, tell him the washroom story.
Washroom story. Okay. this is really uninteresting. But anyways, I used to work at a university out in Vancouver. Actually, it's a college, Douglas College. And I'd get off.
And you know what Frosh Week is about.
Well,
Frosh Week is over. Tomorrow's the first day of class.
Oh, is it?
You guys broke in everything. The new school year. Congratulations. Anyway.
Basically, I worked for the IT department there, and I was going into work fairly early. So I have Crohn's, so I tend to take a lot of shits, okay?
Hell fart.
Is that where hell fart came from?
Well, no, it should have.
I was sitting in the washroom, you know, doing my thing, and I see this guy walk in, and he's looking at me very strange. And I'm looking at this going, what's wrong with this picture? There's something seriously wrong with this because he's staring at me and he's all pissed off. And I get up, I wipe my ass, and I realize I forgot to shut the stall door. So I'm shitting. Basically, he's watching me do my thing. So I, you know,
that's
this is the morning.
That's a three-tard story, man. I'm telling you, that's a song waiting to be written.
It is.
Yeah.
Anyway, on that note, we're going to hear Little Dog, Big Dick.
Love you.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, guys. Sure. Thanks very much, boys.